Super Bowl winner Matt Burke. Great to have him back on the show once again, and wants to talk about the search for Square One. Super Squares wants to start curating the history of this phenomena that happens once a year, the Super Bowl Squares game. Where did it come from? How did it start? We need an Ivy Leaguer like Matt Burke to break down this. Matt, welcome to the show. What's your involvement with Super Squares?
Well, I helped launch Super Squares 2 years ago. We kind of figured out how to take this really simple game, football squares, and make it so everybody in the country could play against each other. There's a slight twist with our game is that you make a couple really simple predictions at the beginning. It went really well. Last Super Bowl Sunday last year, we set a Guinness Book of World Records for most players in a squares game. This Super Bowl squares game, it's a big part of the biggest unofficial holiday in America, which is Super Bowl Sunday. But nobody has any idea where it started. I mean, I have an internet connection at my house. I've searched the internet far and wide and can't seem to find any. There's nothing that points to anybody who had the first Super Bowl Squares game or anything about its origin. So we thought it'd be kind of fun to ask the football community to share their stories. And if anybody has any leads on this, please go to supersquares.com and help point us in the right direction.
The squares are also fun, refreshing, but frustrating because you think, oh, I know about football and that person doesn't, but it doesn't matter because the square is just how it turns out, right?
Well, and that's why I think we made it a lot better. I mean, digitizing it right now, you can bring it to the mass. But Super Squares, you get four numbers every quarter, not just one. Mm-hmm. And you get four new numbers every single quarter. So you've got 16 sets of numbers throughout the whole game. And the way our algorithm works is you always get one good number, you know, a zero, a three, a four, a seven. So you're always in it. So even if you match one number, you get partial credit in our game. And so it's a lot of fun. And yes, I know what you're talking about. I've been to plenty of Super Bowl parties where I put my money in and then I get 5-5. And then I know that I don't have to worry about watching the score because I'm never going to match a number.
Well, now, when you were coming out of Harvard, you were a tackle, right? And then your hometown team takes a punt on you, the Vikings. When did they decide that they were going to? Because usually centers aren't as big as you are.
You know, I worked out for the Vikings, which I was really excited about because they were my hometown team. And then they told me, you know, we're probably not going to draft a lineman, and you're probably going to get drafted. So that was kind of the good news, bad news. So when they called me on – Denny Green gave me a call in the sixth round on draft day and said, we're taking you. I was shocked. And I was coming to a team with a great offensive line. You know, Jeff Christie, Randall McDaniel, who's in the Hall of Fame, Todd Stoosie, who was an All-Pro, Corey Stringer, All-Pro. So they didn't – you know, I wasn't going in there to start. I wasn't ready to start. They're going to make me a backup. And Mike Tice, my O-line coach, said, look, you know, we only dress seven linemen. So if you're going to be a backup on game day, if you're going to dress, you got to play all the positions. Said, I got to learn how to play center, and I got to learn from one of the best in the game at the time, Jeff Christie. And, you know, for 2 years just got to really practice and watch and learn the offense. And then in year three, I got a chance and, made the most of it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Tice because I remember talking to him a few times when he was out here with the Raiders. But he's a guy who famously called out his whole team. He was going to fight his entire team. What was it like with the intensity of that guy?
He was intense. But the thing that, you know, the thing about Mike and why I think it worked for him, if you will, one, that, you know, it's who he is. I mean, he played 14 years in the NFL. Came in as a college quarterback, and then played 14 years in the NFL as a tight end. And he was a big guy, but he was kind of like an offensive lineman. I mean, he was tough, you know, and he was going to make sure that his players were tough. You know, he wanted players like him that fit his personality, that fit his vision for the team. So, you know, if you're going to challenge your team and you're going to fight everybody, I mean, I don't care who you are as a coach. If you actually do fight guys on your team, you will lose. But Mike Tice was 6'8". He was a big guy. At least he had a chance. You know? it's different than some different than if Sean McVay were to challenge his team to a fight. Let's just say that.
Right, David Shula going to call you out. What's up with you being all ripped now and not being over 300 pounds still?
I don't know if I'm all ripped, but, you know, I was fortunate that I had to work at it to keep my weight on, and I love to eat, so devouring entire pizzas or two-fisting burritos was not a problem for me. I didn't really, that wasn't drudgery, but, you know, when I got done playing, it's like, look, man, I've been trying to, like, put weight on for, like, 20 years. And being 300 and some pounds isn't necessarily super healthy. So I just kind of eat normal now and was able to drop, a quick 50 and then work at it a little bit more and drop another 20. And now I'm at a pretty healthy weight. And, you know, I got to be able to move around. I've got eight kids. I'm constantly running around with them and coaching stuff and just trying to stay alive.
I love the fact that you, because we always hear the Jim Gaffigan jokes, and I think he has five kids. I like on your Twitter, it's your son, and you went, this kid is 12, almost like you forgot his name.
Well, you know, it's just, I mean, he was, I don't know. I normally get their names right, but sometimes, you know, it's a lot, and, you know, when you have kids, I don't care how many kids you have, you know, as a parent, you're always running around, and you're a little sleep-deprived, and sometimes the right name doesn't come to your head. But, yes, one of them turned 12 last week. I know that.
One more question about your Twitter feed. I saw that you said that Doug Peterson is going to be the greatest or the most successful hire in 3 years. What do we have, eight openings getting filled here? What do you think about him and Trevor Lawrence? You like that matchup, huh?
I think that's a great matchup. You know, I think what Doug was able to do in Philly, I mean, you know, look, Trevor Lawrence, I think everybody agrees. Trevor Lawrence is a really talented guy and a really right-way guy. And, you know, Doug played the position for a long time. I think he was very innovative in Philly. Obviously, they won a Super Bowl. You know, he won a Super Bowl with his backup quarterback playing in the playoffs, Nick Foles. And so it just feels like from what I know of Doug and what I know of Trevor and kind of the people that they are, I think they're gonna get along really well, and I think that's just invaluable to a quarterback to have a head coach who knows exactly what it's like to play that position, who has coached that position before. I think the Jaguars fell into a nice situation there for once. And you know, face the Jaguars, looking back, they made a lot of bad decisions, but I think this is the right one for them.
And by the way, your high school in the Twin Cities, I mean, normally great athletes coming from California, Florida, Texas, whatever. You got Chris Winkie, Steve Walsh, Joe Mauer, even Josh Hartnett, Mr. Handsome. What is it about that high school? You guys pumping out all these great athletes.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Floyd. I mean, there's Ryan McDonough in the NHL. Yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of one of those things. Kind of a small Catholic high school right in the city, you know, when I was there, it was just very much neighborhood. Just everybody in the neighborhood just went there. It wasn't like guys were driving across town. It wasn't one of those places that has the best facilities or is paying guys to go there or anything like that. But something just, I don't know, it's just something kind of special about the community, particularly the football program, that you know, just did a really good job of, I think, getting the right kind of guys and working hard and good coaches, and it worked out for a handful of us.
No doubt about it. And real quick, what do you think about the game on Sunday? Which way are you leaning?
Well, I mean, I guess emotionally, you know, I'm kind of pulling for Stafford, but this is an interesting Super Bowl. I know that these are two new teams, two new faces. Tom Brady's not playing in this Super Bowl, which is rare. But it, you know, it's really hard. I think as my sports affinities go, I'm always looking for someone to root against. I don't know what that says about me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to find a villain in this one.
Right.
You know, I mean, the quarterbacks, the coaches, the franchises. I mean, I don't know. I guess you know, I just have a great admiration for Matthew Stafford for how he conducted himself and what he tolerated in Detroit for all those years, particularly. Never bad-mouthed in the organization, and playing hurt in games that didn't matter, which is just about every game for the Detroit Lions, right? But, I mean, literally, the guy, I mean, you know, he's legendary. How tough he was, break his hand, separate his shoulder, he'd stay in games. And to me, like, I'd point to him and tell my boys, hey, be like that guy, right? And so it'd be nice to see him get rewarded and win one. But the Cincy story's great too. So probably just have to sit back and just enjoy it. Probably won't get too worked up because I'll kind of feel good with whoever wins.
All right. And for Super Squares, where do we go to check it out?
You go to supersquares.com, share your stories, but please download the free app and play this Sunday. Over $2 million in prizes. And we're not trying to get you to gamble. We're not going to try to sell you a mortgage or sell your information. Our advertisers just appreciate our players and just have fun, because that's what Super Bowl Sunday is all about, coming together and having fun.
There he is. He's got a ring, Matt Burke. Hey, Matt, thanks for coming on, man. Always a good time.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.